Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Orange and blue sunset in Mile High, here in Broncos Country, let's get ready to ride. Russ and the rest are gonna light up the sky. We'll break it down after the game with the guys. Hometown heroes with their own sports bar, the best coverage in Denver. Don't go too far, just turn on DNVR. We are
Bill Dance Outdoors, the number one hunting and fishing show in the country.
No one understands what that
Nobody knows what that is.
At least like two people are going to get that joke, and I'm going to love it.
I don't know.
Welcome to the DVR Broncos podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's number one rated sportsbook. Get over to DraftKings Sportsbook, use the code DNVR when you sign up to get in on all their great deals. And we are coming to you live from Studio A, where the A stands for arrow.
Oh.
As in bow and arrow, a thing that you can go hunting with.
Boy, this is going to be a hunting show today.
Wow. What a coaching search.
Oh, my God. The weirdest, most uncomfortable twist and turn coaching search I've ever been a part of.
Henry must love it. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, he does love it.
It's just chaos.
He thinks this is normal. No, this is not normal. This is weird.
My last coaching search was the Carl Durrell search in mid-March.
Ooh, yeah.
So much fun.
This one may go to mid-March. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
It might. Depends on how long it takes to kill an animal.
So,
gosh,
it's true.
I don't want to think about that.
Oh, well, we're thinking.
Yeah, I actually recently heard a story of a person, I won't even say what field they work in, who works in a field.
A literal field?
Going on a hunting trip. This is totally separate of this
situation.
Yes. Going on a hunting trip and like telling their boss they're going to be back a certain day, and then they're like, we haven't gotten a kill yet. Can't come home.
That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
That would be embarrassing. So yeah, we're just waiting on a big buck deer to come across that that crosshair.
No, stay safe, animals.
I know.
That's definitely team animals.
I'm generally team animals. Occasionally,
Stop. We're done.
Apparently,
done. Mute the mic.
There are some bad animals out there. That's all I'm gonna say.
Wow. Oh, good, he's muted.
You gotta go back to Zootopia. Not all
Zootopia animals.
Fair enough.
I like to think of it like that, though.
Team animal all the way. Yep. The only problem is being team animal also delays the coaching search.
It does, but like another weekend of not having to worry about news? All right.
All right, we're talking vaguely about this, so let's just get into what actually happened yesterday, because this is by far my favorite twist and turn of this roller coaster, because it's objectively hilarious while also like really cringy, and then also maybe not true.
While also potentially being extremely concerning.
Yes.
It's got literally every twist and turn.
Take us through it, Zach.
So yesterday, our guy, big time, Jeff Duncan, was on a ESPN, some sort of show, and he reported that the reason the Broncos haven't had any second round of interviews was because Rob Walton is on a hunting trip and he wants to be there to be part of the interview, so that's why everything's delayed. And it's like,
what?
Excuse me? What? And then it's like, Well, the Broncos are the only team that haven't scheduled a second set of interviews. The Broncos are the only team, one of the only teams that haven't had a second round of interviews yet. So it's like, is that right? Like, what? And then you have multiple people come out and say, this is completely false, very false. And then you have Jeff Duncan himself come out and he tweets, folks, I was told this by someone close to the situation about the reasoning, but had not been able to confirm it, so I should have never mentioned it in a public forum. I certainly wasn't, quote-unquote, reporting it, and didn't expect this to become a, quote-unquote, thing in Denver.
Big
my
dunk.
Regrets and apologies.
Big Dunk, what are you doing, my guy? What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It very much sounded like a report.
It was
very factual. It was a statement.
If you or I or Henry or anyone is on a show that is public and live and says something as if it's a fact, that counts as a report.
Yeah. You would think so.
It does.
And then the PR correction frenzy.
All over it.
I would just love to have been tapped into the phones and see all of the calls that were made.
Probably coming from one phone to a few other phones.
Yeah, but yeah. I think actually there was multiple core phones involved.
Oh, wow.
With multiple branches.
Okay. Yes.
So can I give you guys my conspiracy theory about
Absolutely.
What happened?
Absolutely.
I have no issue doing this. So Big Dunk reports it. And he, in my, remember, this is not a report. This is a conspiracy theory.
That's what you say before something that's not a report.
Sean, he's like, Sean, how come you don't have the second interview with the Broncos? He's like, I heard Rob Walton's hunting and they don't want to do any second interviews till he gets back. He's like, what? Then Sean Payton just assumed like that would stay between them.
Yep.
Then Big Dunk says it on the radio. And then, of course, it gets clipped by the internet.
Yep.
Everyone sees it. Goes viral in Denver. Everyone's freaking out, rightfully so. So then the Broncos call Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And they're like, bro, what?
You told
a reporter that? And then he reported it? And Sean Payton's like, oh, God, I didn't think you would do that. My bad. Sean Payton calls Big Dunk, and he's like, you reported that? He's like, no, I just like kind of said it. What? It wasn't a report. And he's like, dude, you're making me look really bad to the Broncos. So then everyone's scrambling around trying to...
Not Rob Walton.
No, Rob Walton's just hunting.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know this is happening. He's out of service. So then you have the Broncos obviously going through their channels to be like, this isn't true. You have Big Dunk trying to preserve his relationship with Sean Payton by being like, oh, what? No, that I didn't actually confirm that. And the whole thing becomes a big mess. But the whole point of my conspiracy is I fully believe the original report to be true.
He never said he was wrong. And I think that is an important part of what he said. Now, multiple other reporters in Denver did say it was false. It was like asinine. It was a joke. Absurd, I think.
Categorically
false. Yeah, exactly. But Jeff Duncan never said it was false. He just said he hadn't got that second confirmation, and as an established reporter, he wants that second confirmation. But I think that is important that he never said it was false.
So, not to get down a whole other rabbit hole, but something I was talking to you guys about last night, which I won't open up that can of worms at all. I'm just saying the Broncos, if they wanted to, could just like casually tweet out a video of Rob Walton in the building today. Like he could just like walk by in the background. And then everything would be squashed.
That'd be the most Broncos thing to do.
It sure would. But I bet they won't do that.
Because.
Or like Rob Walton. I don't know if he has Twitter, but he could just put out a selfie video like sipping coffee and reading the paper on his couch at home.
Oh, man. What if he just puts out a kill?
Well, that's probably what, more likely.
I think it's what's most likely is we will continue to not hear anything at all from Rob Walton. Like he's
ever.
Yeah. Like, we'll see him when he shows up on the sideline before games, and that'll be it.
The funny thing is, like, I'm imagining him in the mountains of Colorado hunting, and I'm realizing, like, oh, no, exactly. He's probably hunting, like, elephants.
That's my favorite part.
Wow.
No. Wow. What do you mean, stop? Like, he might be. I guess we probably shouldn't put that
Team
on
Team elephant.
Him, but that's what I was
absolutely.
Thinking.
Absolutely.
And I was really hoping the conversation would go here. Where do you think, like, if you had to bet, where is Rob Walton hunting? Someone in the world where he is hunting, we're making assumptions. I think it's Africa.
That's where I was That's where, after I recorrected myself.
I was honestly thinking, like, Arkansas. I think he was in, like, Montrose. Yeah, I mean, maybe even, I was thinking a little outside Colorado. I wasn't thinking, like, India or Africa.
I think Africa. I definitely, I mean, just think about it. You ever play Big Buck Hunter?
Yes.
Where do you go when you play Big Buck Hunter?
I have no idea.
You always go to Africa. Nobody wants to shoot the deer and stuff around here. You always go to Africa. And the world is a video game to these people. So when you play hunting in real life, why not just go do it in Africa and shoot some crazy animals?
I don't think
Which I'm against.
I don't think I'd go to Africa in Big Buck Hunter.
Really? Where would you go?
Wherever you hunt the bucks.
Kind of like those big moose.
Wow, enough.
There's one scene where if you hit a buffalo, lose, which I like that part.
You would love that. We have someone in the comment section just reminding you guys that Africa is not a country.
Were we saying countries?
Yeah, I think so. I think you said
that. It would definitely be Henry who said that.
Yeah,
don't tell
that is true. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
I wonder where they hunt in Africa. I would have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either, but maybe
Serengeti.
If he really is in Africa, maybe this thing isn't over until mid-March.
I think that's protected. I think that'd be like the one place you definitely can't hunt.
You think that would stop him?
No.
Wow.
No.
The comment section's being brutal right now.
To us?
He may be hunting.
Yeah.
And BK says, such a weird conversation.
More than anything, I just hope
it's a weird coaching search.
If he is hunting, the animal deserves it. Like, I hope it's not like a good animal that...
Like
what is wrong with
prairie
that?
Prairie dog?
Like a spider?
Hunting spider?
I can get behind that.
They do have some big spiders.
Gotta be Australia then.
That would be huge.
But yeah, like, I don't know, like a lion that's like eating people or something like that, you know? Which is very, never mind.
That's probably not happening.
Probably not. Or even just like,
you're really struggling to find
a water
an animal.
Buffalo. Like a big old water buffalo.
Well, those are dope.
Those seem nice.
Yes, I'm not saying they're not
dope.
You
can't have anything with buffalo in it, or RK's definitely going to disagree.
What if it's storming through a village? What if it's just knocking people out of the way? What if it's stepping on kids? Boom, get that one.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying is I hope that it's a bad one if he's doing it.
Yeah.
My guess is he's not going to little
you know what
local
I hope?
Villages.
No.
I hope the Broncos have a second interview sometime soon.
That would be cool.
It's crazy. It's crazy that they don't. It's crazy that there's no talk of one, especially when, you know, the guys who we think are at the top of their list that can interview this week are doing second interviews. Sean Payton's meet the Cardinals tomorrow. Dan Quinn's meeting with them today. And it is just quiet on the Broncos front. The Colts, it came out today that they're going to have a second interview with like 7 people. Yep. And it's going to carry into next week. I believe they're starting their process today or tomorrow. The Cardinals obviously are busy. The Texans are interested in people. Mm-hmm. The Panthers have had some interviews this week, and Broncos, it is just crickets out there.
Yeah,
it is. And how many coaches have they interviewed so far, Zach?
8.
Ocho.
They need more.
Oh.
Really?
Need more interviews. If we're not going to do second interviews without Rob Walton, let's do first interviews without Rob Walton. I would interview Steichen. I would interview Ben Johnson.
First-time offensive guys. Let's go.
I'd definitely interview at least one first-time offensive guy.
No, I agree. I was not saying that in a mocking way.
And just to circle back to this, because I finally went and looked it up and wrote it all down last night. Broncos are in their fourth coaching search since 2017. Wow. The previous three, all of these coaches were hired in those cycles and yet not interviewed by the Denver Broncos. Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, Matt LaFleur, Bruce Arians, Dan Campbell, Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson.
Man, that hurt. Not even interviewed.
Not interviewed. So why not interview everyone? If another team is interviewing a guy, you should be asking yourself, why are they interviewing them? Maybe we should interview them too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I really don't like about this week. I understand being deliberate
it's a waste
and going
of time.
Through your process, but exactly right. If you're just sitting there, there's nothing more important right now than looking for your next head coach. So there should be no business things that are getting in front of this. There should be no trips that are getting in front of this. There should be no seasoned end review things. No, this should be the number one thing. So if you want to wait for D'Amico Ryans for next week for a second interview, totally fine with that. But this week, be talking to other people. Get Dan Quinn in the building. Get Sean Payton in the building. Get these other candidates in the building that you can talk to, because when you're just sitting here, other teams are doing research, second interviews, first interviews. What are you doing? So that's why I really don't like it, is they should just be doing something. I don't need them to hire a coach today necessarily, but be doing something.
Yeah, I do think that they're just waiting for D'Amico Ryans. I think that they want to kind of keep all these interviews together and not have like a week-long gap between the Sean Payton interview and the D'Amico Ryans interview. And I almost wonder what could have played out differently if they'd done the same thing with Jim Harbaugh. You know, if they hadn't left that gap in there, if they would have said like, okay, first round interviews, we're bunching them all in, maybe he doesn't back out because that isn't so much time that he's waiting. But that's a whole different conversation. I do think that the main piece here is that they're waiting for D'Amico Ryans, and that's why they're going to knock out all those interviews next week. It would be nice if they could go through them all this week and get ahead of the search, but it does seem like all of the searches are moving pretty slowly. Like, there's still first interviews. I mean, Sean Payton's first interview with the Cardinals is in a couple days. Nobody's hired a coach yet. So while I definitely wish that they would get on with it for a bunch of reasons, including I'm getting bored of this, it would be... I'm not overly concerned. Although I do think, like, in terms of who they're going to land, I don't think it's going to be Sean Payton or anything like that. That's the more concerning.
Don't worry, guys. The Eagles are going to take care of business this week.
It actually doesn't matter. We agree. I agree.
They will, it'll make everything
kind of
better.
Matters, but in terms of a second interview, it doesn't. And let's dive into D'Amico Ryans. But first, you know where you can't find D'Amico Ryans?
On a hunting trip?
Probably. That's probably a safe thing. Unless
Could
they have
imagine?
Them like in like
hunting quarterbacks.
Santa Barbara, where Santa Clara? They probably Santa don't Clara. Have many Would you hunting hunt excursions out there.
Yeah, mostly just tech.
Or like seagulls.
Whales.
Seagull hunting.
Yeah, we definitely, again, like I'm 95% pro animal. Whales are maybe the tippy top of you don't kill them.
Oh.
Whales, yeah.
What about killer whales?
Oh, wow.
They don't deserve that name is what I've heard.
They take care of their own. Probably.
Unfair name.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Anyways,
they're like the pit bulls of the sea.
Okay,
wow.
I don't need to. My sister had a pit bull, almost killed Tebow, which is the good dog.
I love really pit sad. Bulls.
That pit bull.
Can
it was
we go
crazy.
We
can move
what
along.
We
from
were
that
supposed
one.
To move on to.
We're working on
you
it.
You can't find D'Amico Ryans.
You got into
at DraftKings Sports.
Yeah, he wouldn't be allowed to be there.
He's not. Well,
That'll
he's
be
not allowed to be there. But also, you can't find him. He's not on DraftKings Sportsbook because they took away the Broncos coaching odds. Because you know why? They don't know what the heck is going on. They don't know if they should put like hunting in there to be the next. They don't know what to do. So you can no longer bet, at least as of right now, on who the next head coach will be over DraftKings.
Bill Dance, next head coach.
I would be surprised.
But you can bet on this week's games. If you think the Eagles are going to win by three or more, you can bet on the Eagles and ride with Allie this weekend. If you think that the Chiefs are going to lose, well, they're underdogs. So Vegas
they're on the road at Burrowhead.
They're on the road at Burrowhead and underdogs. So you can bet on them to lose. You can check out everything over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And the best thing is you can do it with free money. Place a $5 bet on one of the NFL games this week. And if you place that bet, you get $200 in your account instantly. So do that for the first game, which was the NFC Championship game. They're going to give you $200 in free bets, but then you can use on the Super Bowl, you can use on the AFC Championship later that day, so check them out. Make sure to use that promo code DNVR over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 and make sure to see our show notes for details.
And you know what the first thing D'Amico Ryans would do if he was the Broncos head coach?
Hire his staff?
Go to FOCO.
Wrong. He would go to FOCO and load up on Broncos-themed household items for his new home in Denver. He'd get the signs that you put up.
Like Broncos-themed elves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you think he and his garage puts the sign up that says
Broncos parking only?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you think that's to exclude his wife from parking there?
Maybe he just takes the sign away from Russell Wilson's spot at the facility and puts that in his garage.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, he's loading up on like probably the big sleep, not sleep thing, but the thing that looks like it's meant for sleep, the blanket with sleeves.
Yeah.
The Lego set.
Oh, he's definitely getting.
He's
the
building
Lego set.
The stadium out
of Legos.
He does have
three kids.
He does. Well, no, I think that's for him. Maybe he gets one for the kids too. But I think he seems like a Lego guy to me. So many different options: the sandals, the hats, the floral shirts. You just cannot go wrong, and so trust D'Amico Ryans and go over to FOCO. Is that illegal to say?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
just giving
hypothetically.
Him.
But use the code DMVR when you go over there. And if you happen to see Foco on the website as well, tell him to use the code DMVR as well for 10% off. Or just click that. Actually, no. Click the link in the description on YouTube and on the podcast, but then also use the code DMVR.
Okay, so we're talking about maybe this is delayed because of D'Amico Ryans, and that's what a lot of people are running with right now, and it makes a lot of sense. You cannot interview D'Amico Ryans for a second time until after the NFC Championship game, so the Broncos could interview him if they win or lose the following Monday, and if they win, they can interview them till the following Sunday, right before the week leading up to the Super Bowl. So they'd have plenty of time to give him a second interview, and if, of course, they lose, they can interview him and hire him whenever. So maybe that is a reason why they're waiting, but it scares the hell out of me. It scares the hell out of me because D'Amico Ryans is not just on the Broncos board.
Exactly.
He's also on a few other teams' boards, specifically the Houston Texans. And this is why I just hate that the Broncos are waiting just for him, if that's the case, because you guys know who drafted D'Amico Ryans.
The Houston Texans.
You know who wants another interview with D'Amico Ryans.
The Houston Texans.
You know where D'Amico Ryans' wife is from.
Houston.
Do you know where D'Amico Ryans lived the 1 year he was not in between playing and coaching?
Houston.
Denver.
Houston. Oh, Houston is should scare the hell out of the Broncos. They could easily be the team that he wants he's offered, you know, a similar contract. And so to me, if they're seemingly putting all their chips in the basket for D'Amico Ryans, it is not a gimme that they're going to get him.
Maybe, though, D'Amico's a big hunter. Would love to hang out around the Waltons and go on big trips.
Doesn't Texas have a lot of hunting?
They have a lot of those, like, hunting farms. Wild hog hunting in Texas.
He sure did. I think that was in Georgia.
Oh. Okay.
That was in Georgia when he was the defensive coordinator. Got hog blood all over the Jordans.
Tough scene.
What a guy.
Those actually, low-key, might be okay to hunt. Because they're overpopulated.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are times when you
really
kill an animal.
There's a really interesting podcast
there
about that.
There is a really interesting podcast about
that's
wild
our
hogs.
Fun fact we shared a piece.
Yeah. Actually, when I was in high school.
If anyone wants it, I'll DM it.
When I was in high school, one of my neighbors had a cougar in the tree. So I shot the cougar. That's fine.
Right.
It would have gotten a dog or like a kid.
I don't know.
I would have gone like tranquilize.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think my neighbor has a tranq gun.
Just call the train
call
gun
animal
people.
Patrol.
They just shoot them too.
Really? In Montana, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no.
Since we're already situations. Off the rails here, I'm going to say that we have our new head of production, Alyssa, shadowing and learning, and I'm really glad that she's seeing how off the rails all of our shows can really be. Because I think this debate and this topic might be as big as rivers, lakes, or oceans.
It could be.
But there's not really a debate.
I guess that's true.
I mean, it's like, because
it's
95%
it's like team
animal
pro versus
animal or
pretending to not be.
Yeah.
I'm not pretending. There's times when you have to kill an animal.
You said you were 95% team animal. I think you're 5% team animal. 95%
if,
not.
If you want me to list all of the animals I would not kill,
please,
I will
don't.
Sit here
Let
all day.
Please don't.
I do have to say, shout out to Alyssa. Welcome to the squad.
Yes.
Also rocking a sick Broncos crew neck today.
Yep.
So, respect. Okay.
You were maybe going to give me some pushback
on
what I said about Cougar. No, about D'Amico Ryans, the Texans.
Oh, yeah. D'Amico Ryans cannot go to the Texans.
Why?
Why not?
Can't do it. Because of how poorly they have treated their last two coaches. Back-to-back coaches. Both happen to be African-American. Both fired after 1 year. The Texans have completely and utterly destroyed their reputation within the coaching community, and especially within the African-American coaching community. And I truly believe that, like, D'Amico Ryans probably has a lot of respect for Lovie Smith. And I wouldn't be surprised if he talked to him about this. And I don't think Lovie would have a lot of love for the Texans.
I think there's a big difference, though, is you're not taking into account that he's been in that organization for like 6-7 years. He's been ingrained in it, and he would probably think it's different.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
Okay. And that's just where we're going to have to disagree. Yeah. I really think that connection he has, not just with the Texans, but with Houston, is something yep. where you look at it from a 30,000-foot view and you say, well, of course the Broncos are a better job. Of course you take that job. But when you have those very deep ties personally and professionally, I don't think that's something that can be overlooked.
Yes.
And what's going to happen if they win 3 games next year? They're going to fire him again?
Maybe. I also think if you look at this, you look at the past two coaches, and it was, I mean, there were a lot of people saying, Lovey, don't take the job. It's just going to be exactly what happened this past year. It's going to be a one and done.
Yeah.
You're just a sitting duck here. And turns out that was right. I think with DeMeco, it feels different. It feels like he would be a guy there getting a young coach to build with their young team.
And I think the Texans organizationally are not as bad as people think they are. Like before these last three seasons, basically since before they had traded DeAndre Hopkins, they'd had above 500 records in 5 of 6 seasons. That was above 500 in like 7 of 9 seasons as well. Like they were winning games. Like they were successful. And especially for like a young franchise like that, that's pretty good. Now, the Bill O'Brien stuff, they're still kind of dealing with the ramifications, and the owners have all that stuff going on. But I do think that there is a path to success because they just have so much money and so many picks. It might take a year or two, but I agree with Zach. Like, I think they would give DeMeco Ryans time. Like, they love DeMeco Ryans. I think they'd give him at least a few years to turn it around.
But like, Nick Caserio wasn't there when DeMeco Ryans was there.
I think DeMeco Ryans, I think that the way the Texans organization would treat DeMeco Ryans is they would say, you have control of everything.
I still think they have a GM. But I do think he has a lot of say.
I think so, but I think that's I think they would do everything to get him in terms of saying, like, no, you're not going to report to the GM. You're going to be side by side.
Yeah, that might be. Their hands are kind of tied if they're trying to get him.
So on DeMeco Ryans, I have to remove myself from the situation the Broncos are in to try to think about DeMeco Ryans as a candidate. Mm-hmm. Because I think in a world in which the Broncos haven't failed 3 times in a row with first-time head coaches and haven't not scored a touchdown in 7 years, I would love DeMeco Ryans as a candidate.
Wait, what'd you call it? Haven't scored what?
Haven't scored a touchdown in seven years.
What is that?
Yeah, that's the thing that you try to do to win games.
What are you touching?
The ground.
Oh.
Anyways. I would love DeMeco Ryans. He has so many of the things that you love in a head coach. He's so energetic. Literally has former teammates saying they would die for him.
Yeah.
He's going to be president one day. I mean, all of the things that should be attractive about a head coach.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to try to evaluate his candidacy aside from all of the external factors, because it's not as if all first-time head coaches are bad. It's not as if all defensive-minded head coaches are bad. And I think he's great in so many different categories. But the other things are why he wasn't mentioned, I think, a lot when we were talking about our favorites, because of the situation the Broncos are in. So in the end, if you get a good head coach, you're going places. And I think he has a strong chance of being that. But it is scary going down the same road. I mean, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, first-time head coaches with defensive backgrounds. That's 2 out of the last 3 that have failed in Denver coming from that same mold. Now, DeMeco Ryans could be completely different from them in every other way, but it is coming from that world, which scares me.
Well, and on top of that, Ryan, just to kind of look at it from that perspective too, DeMeco Ryans is 38 years old. He's only been a defensive coordinator for 2 years. Before that, he was a position coach just for a couple of years. He's only been a coach since, 2017, I believe? So still extremely young in age, also extremely young in coaching experience, let alone not having any head coaching experience. So I totally understand why people just see first-time head coach and say, you got to be kidding me. What? Mm-hmm. Now, I've also said that I really wanted them to look at everything. Defensive guys, offensive guys, first-time head coaches, people with 10 years of head coaching experience. So I'm happy that they're considering him. But it is even if they make this hire and he kills the opening press conference, which he will, the offseason's going great, I can still see people just being a little worried going into the season, and I can't. It's going to be impossible to make people not worried until he actually comes in here and starts winning games. Now, what does give you a little hope is not just he's been around coaching for a little bit, but that he was in the NFL for a decade and has seen it from the other side and has been in the building for a long time.
He was like a guy who got by. I mean, he's talented, obviously. You have to be an all-pro linebacker. But most of it's just mental. Like, most of it is he knew what the offense was going to do and beat him to it. I think, like, Fred Warner was saying that half the time he hears in his helmet D'Amico Ryans telling him what the play is going to be. And that's why they've been so good. And part of why he, in particular, Fred Warner's been so good is because that's what D'Amico Ryans does. He just knows the game so well and studies so much and has seen so many things that he can say, yeah, I think they're going to be running it to the left here, so heads up. Just be on the lookout for that. And then they just go shut it down. That's why they're the number one defense in terms of points, number one defense in terms of yards, and upgrading on obviously all these numbers after Robert Saleh left. Yep. And so the fact that Robert Saleh looks like a solid head coach. Like, yeah, the Jets were better than we expected. Yeah. That's a good job he did. There's a lot of reasons to think that D'Amico Ryans is going to be even better than him. You still run into some of the same Dan Quinn questions where it's like, well, if a lot of his value is on the defensive side of the ball, are you switching to the 4-3? Is he calling plays? Do you have him be hands-off? Is that waste to have him hands-off when he's literally in the headset saying what's going to happen? And so you do run into some of those questions, but
you
I
also
agree.
Say look at the talent that he has.
True.
I mean, didn't the 49ers, you like use four straight first-round picks on the defensive line, and they all panned out except for one?
And it's a good idea. Like, invest in the trenches. This is football. It's also quarterback in trenches. That's how you win.
Three fantastic linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, is Fred Warner the best linebacker in the NFL without D'Amico Ryans? He'd be really good, but would he be the best in the NFL? Because he wasn't before D'Amico was there.
Because
he's close.
He was. He was up there. But this, he has ascended since then.
Wasn't he Fred Warner a rookie when he was there? I think they came in together.
Oh, did they?
Maybe not exactly together, but he was a linebackers coach for Fred Warner.
That is true, yes.
And so I believe that he helped him. He helped him get there, obviously.
But he didn't have the headset before.
Right, right. And talent was there. And with D'Amico Ryan, just to your point about him being a really good player without necessarily having all of the talent in the world, 6'1", 238, and ran a 4.69. So, obviously, true. Like, talent, but not, he's not, you know, Von Miller, 6'4", 250.
Vic Fangio probably loves him.
Vic Fangio, oh, man, I read some article about D'Amico Ryans last night.
You and those S's.
Oh,
S's.
My gosh, they're tough, man, they're tough.
Apparently.
When there's S's, it's tough. But I read some article, and guess the linebacker that was mentioned in, like, the same understanding of
Sam
the
Mills.
Game.
Sam Mills.
Yes. Wow. So maybe you get D'Amico and Vic here.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Maybe you do. If I could hear, because I haven't seen this anywhere, maybe it's out there, I just haven't seen it. If I could hear who his who he wants to be his offensive coordinator, it could go a long way to either swaying me to one side or the other. I'm sold on D'Amico Ryans the person.
Yep.
There's so many other factors that play into being a successful head coach. And if you guys remember when we started this coaching search, it was all about how do you fix Russ? Personally, I don't know if D'Amico Ryans has a plan to fix Russ. Mm-hmm. He might be a good head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Broncos could still be screwed.
And I want to hire D'Amico Ryans or whatever coach because they're going to come in and help the entire team, not just, oh, we're going to win on defense, baby. Just like when Vic came here. Remember his opening press conference? He said, well, yeah, I'm going to call the plays. I was brought in here to make to keep the mm-hmm. defense great. No, that is so 20 years ago of thinking. And if the Broncos don't just do that, but they do it again, oh, it's going to make me pull my hair out of my head. And that's just going to be so frustrating. So I'm definitely okay with D'Amico Ryans. If you bring him in because he's a fantastic leader, CEO, Mike Tomlin type. Mike Tomlin was only a coordinator for 1 year before Pittsburgh hired him to be the head coach. So it's not like you have to have this experience to be a good head coach, but he better have a good plan on offense.
You know who my comp is for him? Not Mike Tomlin. Mike Vrabel.
Oh, that's I mentioned it last week. Yeah. And that's what gets me so fired up.
Yep. And Mike Vrabel did a fantastic job of going in and being the head coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of things changed there once Mike Vrabel got that position, and it made a lot of people look back and say, who was the four? Was it Munchak?
Yeah.
I
think there's one person in between.
Some other guy who kind of looks like Munchak. How did he screw this up so bad? You know, like, how did they not give the ball to Derrick Henry that much? How did they not work the play action game with Marcus Mariota at the time? And there's a chance that D'Amico Ryans could be that guy. There's still a giant elephant in the room that Rob Walton has his eyes. No, I'm just kidding. There's still a giant elephant in the room, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Who is coming to fix Russell Wilson? Because I just don't think that's what D'Amico Ryans should come here to do.
You want a hot take for offensive coordinator with D'Amico Ryans?
Who?
Sure.
Brian Griese.
Yeah.
49ers quarterbacks coach.
So
he's currently the 49ers quarterbacks
coach. And that's why it's probably not going to happen, because he only has this 1 year of experience.
Of coaching experience.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
he's
I
in
mean,
the booth.
If it's D'Amico Ryans, you're almost guaranteed to have some Kyle Shanahan disciple be the offensive coordinator. Like, those are the only people that D'Amico Ryans has ever worked with.
That's so crazy. That
with Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan was probably like tossing balls to Brian Griese at practice, and now he's his boss.
Yeah, yeah, he's multiple steps up on him too. That is an enticing one because of the Broncos connections.
Hot take.
You bring in Griese in, but you cannot do it.
No.
What was one of the massive issues with Nathaniel Hackett? He came in and he hired a very inexperienced staff.
It's just the squad. He just hired the squad.
He hired the squad who had no experience outside of who was the defensive assistant? Why can't I think of his name? Dom Capers.
Yep.
Like, that was it. That was the only guy with experience. And you can't do that. You can't be a first-time head coach who maybe is also essentially going to be the de facto defensive coordinator, maybe calling plays. So then you have first-time head coach, really a young coordinator as well. And then a first-time offensive coordinator?
No way.
I mean, we would just be looking at it and saying, this is the exact same thing from last year, just obviously different people. Maybe it wouldn't be the exact same result, but how could you not expect just growing mistakes and growing pains everywhere again?
I totally agree. And they should not be looking for young coaches, but there just aren't many options. If you just look at the coaches who D'Amico Ryans has worked with, like, all those Kyle Shanahan coaches are very young. Like, you could probably go get this passing game coordinator who I honestly have never heard of. Slowick is his name. He's 35. Like,
no.
That's just how all of these guys are. Like,
same
unless
age
you want
Russ, same age as Russ.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? A guy 35, same years as Russ coming in and trying to put him in his place.
Well, you've got Dan Quinn out there saying, or reports saying, that Daryl Bevel would be his guy, which again, it's another one where, like, wait, didn't he have a bad relationship with Russ?
Yeah.
Well, like, you could go Rich Gangarello with D'Amico Ryans, but nobody wants that.
I know.
Just got fired from Kentucky.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned Clint there. I don't think in this way, but Clint Kubiak might be the answer. I mean, Clay Kubiak is on the 49ers staff.
You can't do this.
No, you definitely can't do this. But it is probably what would happen if you hired D'Amico Ryans. Either
There's
that or you just say,
Kubiak?
You know what? We want to bring in Greg Roman. It's like, you've heard of him. You don't know him at all. He's a good coordinator. You just can't go down this road.
Please, Greg Roman. Like, sign
me
up.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah, or Gary Kubiak. I mean, if we're talking Kubiak, that's the one where it's like, okay, you bring in a vet guy who has tons of experience. Now, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Gary's happy with where he is. But I think that's kind of the matchup that D'Amico would have, like, an experienced guy who's going to come in and be an assistant head coach, get that title, be on the offensive side, and be able to help D'Amico out as he learns as a head coach. And that's something that the Broncos need. And you got to imagine, if the Broncos are going to wait to interview D'Amico Ryans a second time next week and maybe pass up on Dan Quinn because he gets hired because they don't get to interview him this week, pass up on potentially Sean Payton, that he sold them on a fantastic plan on the offensive coordinator side when he met with them last week.
And it's hard to imagine what it is.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of money and just start at the top of the list. Greg Roman is out there. Can you get him? Probably not. You move on to number two.
Why not?
I don't even know who that is. I mean, he's going to get a bunch of offers, you would imagine. The Broncos, as always, can offer the most money. So maybe that is enough. But also, it's an offense that was really, really bad. So, I mean, low standards as well.
Frank
so maybe
Reich.
He likes that. There's
Frank Reich's name is out there.
He could definitely wind up being a coordinator.
What's Kafka doing right now?
Nobody knows.
I mean, like, what, what is his job? Because he was quarterbacks coach for the Chiefs, and then I think he got elevated somewhere.
Yeah, isn't he the Giants offensive coordinator?
Okay, yeah, so he's out.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Because I'm just trying to think of like some of these names that have been hot as QB coaches.
Yeah.
That just aren't out there anymore.
Right.
Luke Getsy was last year. You know, he got a job. It's a pretty barren slate, which is why someone like Sean Payton was just looking so attractive. It's just like, if we're comping him, it's like Gary Kubiak, but even better, right? You're getting an offensive genius who's been a head coach, who's, you know, done it all before.
Yeah, and the names like Frank Wright, I've seen Jim Caldwell thrown out to be the Broncos offensive coach. You look at all the guys that the Broncos interviewed for head coach that are offensive guys, and a lot of people are saying, oh, just pair DeMeco with Jim Caldwell, David Shaw, obviously, they didn't interview Frank Wright, but Frank Wright. And sometimes those things are too good to be true. Jim Caldwell has turned down interviews to be an offensive coordinator this year because he says, I'm only going to be a head coach. So you have to kind of keep those things in perspective. So if you take those guys off the board and then you need guys with experience, kind of like you're saying, Ryan, it's hard to find, which makes it a tricky situation. And that's why we talked about it last year. Man, the Broncos should really go offensive guy, because then once you get him and he succeeds, can't be plucked.
Yep.
And that's something that is just the tough balance now if you go defense. It should not make it so you don't go defense. It just makes it where you really got to love that coach and you really got to believe in his idea.
Absolutely.
Yep.
One idea that I believe in is heading down to Breckenridge Brewery
this
Friday to hang out with the whole DNVR squad. A little Breck Brew Friday. We've been talking about Breck Brew Fridays, Zach, since, I don't know, like 2018.
Yep. Wow.
And this is like the most literal Breck Brew Friday ever, because we are doing our show from Breckenridge Brewery this Friday. And it's not just us. The whole DNVR squad will be down there doing our shows from there. So come down.
What is it, like 11 to 6?
Yes.
Whew.
We'll be there all day hanging out. Would love to see you guys. Obviously, our show is at noon, so you can come see us then and grab some lunch down at the farmhouse. And also, if you mention DNVR when you're there, you're going to get 10% off your beers and your food. They've got these like smoked wings that are fantastic. All sorts of good stuff on the menu down there at Breck Brew. So come hang out with us, get some delicious Breck Brews, and watch the pod live.
Oh, man. Make sure to do that. Say hi. And then make sure to check out our friends over at Game Time.
Yes.
You got some plans this weekend. If not, check out Game Time. Hit up a Nuggets or an Avs game when you're checking out Game Time. They say if you wait, you can save up to 60% on tickets.
Wow.
Sometimes we've even seen it with some Nuggets games, even more savings on tickets. So if you're thinking about going to a game, maybe just hold off until day before, start checking day of, maybe even just a couple of hours before. If some plans free up, you can check out Game Time. Click in the link in our description. We've got it on YouTube. We've also got it anywhere you find podcasts. So you can check it out, click on that, and it'll take you right to all the games that you need. And even if you're out of town and you want to watch Nuggets play in a different city, check them out there as well. Click on that link in our description.
Is there like a college coordinator that would be attractive? Like,
I
would get Garrett Riley.
I mean, talk about going in more to the weeds and being more questionable.
I know. Just trying to think of someone who would excite me if you're like, DeMeco Ryans wants to hire X as their offensive coordinator. Like, that would be like, all right, I'm in.
Just Peyton Manning.
Obviously.
Is Rich Gangrel?
Don't put that out there. Now 30,000 people
fired.
Are missing.
You can't
was he
do
fired?
Rich. He's still
no,
trying
oh,
to push
no,
Rich Gangrel.
No, I would not. But we're talking about college coordinators. There's one right there. The thing is, like, those offenses just are not nearly as, like, detailed and in-depth as NFL offenses. And so you're just kind of asking for trouble, I think.
I agree.
Man,
case scenario, Cliff Kingsbury.
The Cliff Kingsbury.
Is it best case scenario?
Like getting.
I mean,
like if you strip away everything about Cliff Kingsbury and go back to that hire, it's actually pretty crazy. Like he was fired from Texas Tech, was the OC at USC, and then got hired. And then got hired to be the Cardinals head coach. Mm-hmm. Mostly, I think, because he was really handsome.
Why was he fired?
And I was in favor of it.
Why was he fired from Texas Tech?
I was also...
Losing record?
Because he was bad with Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Because he made Patrick Mahomes bad.
But
that's why he got fired.
But his hair.
But his hair.
That 5 o'clock shadow.
He looks so cool next to that wall in his house that's all windows.
Do you think he has the picture of himself...
That house looks really cool.
Do you think he has that picture of himself sitting on the couch in his house? Do you think that's framed in his house?
It's above the mantle in that same room.
Oh, wow.
Is that picture in the picture?
Yes.
Can you see it in the picture?
And it just keeps going.
It just keeps going. Yeah. That'd be kind of fun.
I love how we both did this.
Yeah, that's what it does. You reach your arm in.
But he's living abroad now.
Well, he is. He's in Thailand.
He has a one-way ticket to Thailand.
Exactly. So
it's pretty good.
The thing is, though, like the way the offset, they have the offset language in the contract. So you get paid out whatever's left on your contract. Mm-hmm. But
that's why the Broncos are rooting for Nathaniel Hackett to get that Jets OC job.
Yep. Exactly.
And you know what the Jets are going to do? They're going to say, we'll pay you minimum.
Yeah.
And we'll let the Broncos pay the rest. And you know what Hackett
hourly
will say?
Salary.
He'll probably be like, absolutely.
Do. Who would not want to get paid by the people who fired them and not have to get paid by their new employer?
Absolutely.
But the thing is, it almost always says in there that you have to look for work.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is turning down interviews that the legal case probably means that they get to...
What if he bartends Saturday night at the local watering hole?
Indonesia? Thailand.
I do not think that helps. I think he usually says, like, in the same field, or market value is typically in there. Like, I heard Rick George did an interview after they hired Dion, and everybody's like, how are you going to pay for this? And he's like, we're just going to sell more tickets, and we're going to make enough money to do it. We don't have, like, a donor or anything. And he also said, though, we had a bunch of good coaches on the staff, and we know that they're going to find work somewhere. And so we're not going to have to pay out all those contracts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hopefully those Colorado coaches are good.
The money will work itself out. It always does.
It will.
They're not going to bounce a check to Deion Sanders.
You know what's nice with the Broncos is you don't have to worry about money working itself out.
You certainly do not.
It's there.
Yep. It is there.
A never-ending flow of money.
Should we get to some comments and questions?
We should, absolutely. Yes. Whoa, got a lot.
There is one that I'm super thrilled chats. About.
And 11 also super chats.
Got to give a shout out to our guy Cody getting the likes
Cody's
over 100, and we haven't even started the third segment really. So thank you, Cody. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you for the thumbs up when you're tuning in as well.
We could probably get 200 by the end of this.
I think we can.
That's Cody's goal. That's what he's pushing
for. Do it for Cody.
Do it for Cody.
All this hard work every day. He's in here grinding.
It's incredible.
He's the best.
All right. First one here coming in from Peter, who says, Sean Payton has a strong relationship with PETA.
These
this hunting trip has severed
good.
This relationship.
Look, we got thumbs this down is, because of
do
that.
Do you think this is real?
No.
Oh, this is a joke.
So,
but the severed, I wasn't sure if that was a pun, a hunting pun.
Oh, geez.
Want my thoughts on PETA?
No.
So basically,
muted. You are done.
Next
absolutely not.
Next one from Garth coming in. Says Frank Wright and Russell Wilson together would bring some sort of God back for a rapture. It's not safe for NFL fans.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Wow. Is Frank Wright
Garth
really religious?
Garth is in here a few times, so
he
we'll
must be.
See.
I have a...
Most
he
coaches
must
are
be. Based on
so
that
we,
is also
we don't want to get your take on PETA, Henry, but we
which
do want your take on religion. If you
No, okay,
never mind.
All right, next one.
Not Orange says sorry.
Beat a dead horse, but,
wow, sorry, but I can't think of having another defensive and rookie coach. We need offense, and we better hurry up and get him. Broncos suffering must end.
Yeah. I can't blame any fans for feeling this way. And the other thing is, like, let's just say the Broncos do hire D'Amico Ryans. And their first three games, they're averaging like 16 points a game.
Oh, no.
People are going to riot.
Yep.
All right, they will continue to riot. They will riot all the way through.
I think that if that's the case, though, that next home game, whenever it is, will be more comparable to the final two home games of 15,000 no-shows. Because if they're doing 16 points a game,
oh, you're saying
probably
after
1-2, 0-3, and people are just going to be like, you've got to be kidding me.
Or like more comparable to when like the lacrosse team was playing there?
Outlaws.
The Outlaws, yeah.
That was probably even more no-shows. Unfortunately,
probably
for the Outlaws.
Probably,
yeah.
It's probably why they aren't around anymore.
Which is actually really sad. Oh, I think
thank you.
Lacrosse is legal.
Do you have something to say? Oh, okay. From Adam, who says, "Where the A stands for African Safari with Rob Walton."
See, safaris are sick. I would love a safari.
Have you been on one?
Because the only thing you shoot is pictures.
Exactly. Mm. Well, I don't even know if I need to. I would probably avoid the pictures too. I mean, that would be a couple pictures. I just look.
Okay. I'm down. I want to go on a safari.
Let's do it.
Sounds fire.
I watched a YouTube video yesterday of someone legally touring around North Korea, and I was scared for myself the whole time watching it, feeling like I was doing something illegal.
Wow, that is
wow,
really weird jump.
Wow. kind of the same thing.
Maybe that's where we go.
Wow. Okay, another one from Garth. who says, if Rob Walton is hunting elephants, then he deserves to hire Sean Payton and give up draft capital and pay a huge bag of money for a guy who wears a visor. I think you think that's an insult, but Sean Payton's still the best candidate available.
But also don't hunt elephants more than anything.
Yes.
That's very true. Garth chimes in again and says, why doesn't Houston just hire Captain America, J.J. Watt, to be their coach?
J.J. Watt actually removed his name from coaching. He said, if I could just coach, that sounds fun. But all the other sacrifices that the coaches have to make in the amount of time that they don't get to spend with their family, I'm out.
Good for him.
Yep.
And extremely smart. Coaching is a wild profession to go into.
It really is. I have a lot of respect for the people who do it. Obviously, once you get there, the money is worth it. But most of them don't. Mm-hmm. And the money is extremely not worth it.
True. And the Justin Outen saying that he hadn't left a building in 3 weeks was true.
Which also was the bad thing for the Broncos.
It was a bad thing. But you're like, damn, I really respect your hard work and commitment, but also that is psychotic.
Please stop.
And yes, leave the building. Go see your family.
I literally want to put my arm out and say, go home, Justin. Yes, please.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Garth, again, and all, thank you, Garth, making so it much rain for the support. In all honesty, a Denver riot consists of people not bringing their trash to the curb. Hashtag Denver coaching riot.
We're a very kind people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that. Good take. Next one. from Richard Butt, Zach Wilson hunts cougars.
Oh, wow.
He sure does. Oh,
different type.
Sure does.
That hunting, I can get behind.
Wow.
Whoa, okay.
Well, like, you know, more than like,
learning
I'm
about
not
Zach.
Saying that, you know, what? That's what I'm about. I'm just saying, I can get behind that hunting more than killing.
Who are you getting behind?
yeah. I didn't know it if I were to say it.
Wow.
No.
I can get alongside.
Oh my God, no.
Sure.
Alongside.
I can put my arm around it.
No.
From BK, with all these rumors about Peyton and Coward possibly being Peyton's mouthpiece, have you guys changed your choice on who the next coach is? I want D'Amico now.
Who you want it to be?
If it's not going to be Peyton, if my choices are Dan Quinn and D'Amico Ryans, I think I'm going D'Amico.
I think so. I do. I think
but
so.
But David Shaw, Henry, you got it at what, plus 1,500?
Yeah.
I got it at plus 1,200. I'm still, I'm glad I have that ticket.
I'm glad I have it as well.
There is a report from, I don't remember who, that said the Broncos could hire a coach today.
Yeah, it was Pro Football Talk.
Yes, that's it. That's what it was.
Anything is possible.
That they could hire, if that's the case, it's David Shaw.
Oh,
probably.
Right? Like, who else would it be?
Maybe,
technically, they could announce their intentions to hire D'Amico Ryans.
They could also, your Jim Harbaugh kind of conspiracy theory thing, that would line up well with it being like a one day, like, bang, they actually did it.
It really could, but the longer this goes on, the less it's David Shaw, because he's out there. You could hire him now.
True.
I would have a really hard time, given my past, defending Jim Harbaugh doing that.
Wait, what?
After all the things I've said about Mel Tucker, him doing that to Michigan, it would be hard for me to defend.
But it's Michigan State fans loved it.
Not really. I think if they could give it back, they would.
They're
paying Mel Tucker $10 million to go 5-7 this year.
Oh, that's tough. That is very tough.
Also, even on the receiving end, I think a lot of Michigan State fans were like, "We just did this to Colorado. Can we really trust this guy staying around for very long?"
True.
So smart people would have thought that for sure.
Yes.
Still, give me Jim Harbaugh.
More from Garth.
Right with that.
Give me Garth. Jim Caldwell, Jerry Rosberg duo. Hiring both would cost half of what Peyton does, and both are better than that wanker by themselves.
Wow. Co-head coaches?
Why does anyone care about what the coach is going to cost?
You should not worry about Rob Walton and Kerry Walton Penner and Greg Penner's money.
No.
Means nothing.
No.
Especially when it doesn't count against the salary cap.
Nope.
Which, in my opinion, isn't even real.
But I think we're finding that it is more and more real every year. I bring that take to the Saints. See what the Saints are saying right about now.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can probably keep skirting it if they want.
The bill has come due.
All right. Another one from Garth.
Garth. Wow.
I think Brian Griese has some experience, maybe even in the Mile High.
True.
It's not as a coach.
And as we've brought up many times on this podcast, same passer rating in Denver as Drew Brees in San Diego.
Hmm.
I think actually Drew Brees was like 0.8 better.
Wait, 0.7. So you're saying bring Brian Griese in to be the quarterback and Sean Payton to come make him
Whoa.
A Hall of Fame Drew Brees?
Whoa, because the salary cap would apply, and I'd imagine he's cheap.
I would think so. Boy, what would his vet men be? His vet men might be
true.
Expensive.
I had a Brian Griese jersey.
Oh.
Who didn't?
I didn't. No.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Where's the time?
Next one. I think we're done with Garth. Good job, Garth.
Bye, Garth. See you tomorrow.
We're done with you in a good way.
Yes,
Garth.
Yes,
we
yes,
love
yes.
You.
What OC would a first-time head coach or defensive head coach have to bring in to make you love the hiring and trust Russ can be turned around? I think we just had that conversation, and I don't think there's an answer.
No.
I don't know, but I would expect, you know how sometimes it takes a while to hire coordinators? I would expect whoever they hire, if it's D'Amico Ryan, for like the offensive coordinator to be announced the next day because it's a package, essentially.
I just think it's like, is it Daryl Bevel?
Daryl Bevel.
Now, like, I thought there were reports at some point that he and Russ didn't get along, but then there's other reports that like they got along great.
That's so why reports. The especially with Sean Payton, all the things coming out, you really have to read in between the lines and not take one person or one report or one tweet so seriously, because in the past 36 hours, there has been more just crushing the Broncos, crushing Russell Wilson, crushing Sean Payton than I've ever seen from like two sides that look like they were going to go together to then just destroying each other. So I think we're seeing that. Why I bring that up after you said that is maybe there's some like, oh shit, Daryl Bevel might be our offensive coordinator. Let's put some feelers out. Let's calm some things down from how it was.
Bad, bad, bad. All right. Last super chat from Zachary. What do you guys think about Saquon to the Broncos?
I spent 2 hours looking into this. That's why this is the one I was so excited about. This question, and we won't waste too much time on. I will say I've started writing about Saquon to the Broncos,
yes,
and
has.
I think it would be an incredible, incredible decision. The market for running backs is insane right now, and we can't go through all the numbers. We don't have time, but here's a fun one. 2002, two decades ago exactly, there were two running backs that were higher paid than the highest paid receiver, who was Randy Moss. Franchise tag was like 30% more for running back than receiver. Running backs are more valuable than receivers. One decade ago, it's basically the exact same. There's two running backs making $10 million a year, three receivers making $10 million a year. Now you've gotten to the point where it's flipped too far back. The top running backs are absolutely worth the money. The average production for the eight backs who got paid $10 million or more this year, 1,500 yards per scrimmage, a little more than that, 10 touchdowns. I think it'd make a lot of sense, especially for the Broncos in particular right now.
Because at least the first quarter of the season, they're not going to have Javonte.
And, I mean, the Javonte stuff, there was a study that, like, peer-reviewed all that stuff. They took every knee injury, every multi-ligament knee injury in the NFL from 2000 to 2016. So the return from an ACL and MCL tear, it's like a little over 10 months on average. Return from a PCL or an LCL tear with the ACL, which is what Javonte was, that's on average a little bit more than 15 months. So that return is longer. Also, the first category, 43.5% of those players return to their previous form. They're as productive as before. In the Javonte Williams category, it's 18.5%, which is very small. Now, obviously, the surgeries and all that stuff, if they've gotten a lot better, those what happened in 2000 is very different than what's going to happen now. But even if you're looking at this optimistically and take that 18.5% chance that he is himself and turns it into a 50% chance,
it's still a risk.
You don't say, here's this guy who we're not going to have for the start of next year. At least he may never be himself. And then just say, we need Latavius Murray, who's 33 and also a seventh round draft pick.
So everything you said was so convincing.
Yep.
You just left out the fact that Saquon Barkley is also a massive injury risk.
He's played five seasons, tore his ACL in one. He missed eight total games in the other four seasons, two a year. That's basically what happens with running backs.
He's played five seasons?
Yeah.
Jeez, time flies.
Yeah. Yep. You pay Saquon Barkley, you are saying Javonte Williams is done. I'm not saying that...
Or anything that he does is like a cherry on top.
Yeah, you're counting him out. You're counting his career over from being a dominant running back. But Hank, you got so many other holes to fill. And what are those holes?
Because there aren't as many as you'd think. It's mostly his offensive line and you need a DB.
That's kind of a big one. Offensive lines. It's not just like one spot.
Definitely.
Three offensive line spots.
What about Draymond?
Yeah. I mean, you have the depth. You have six defensive linemen ready. Like, you get worse, but, like, if you have DJ Jones, Mike Purcell, Deshaun Williams, that's a good starting three. Like, that's a solid to good. You have Matt Hennings in, you have Jonathan Harris, who played pretty well. He's a vet. You have the bodies. Like, you could add a pass rusher, but even if you add a pass rusher, you're probably trading at least one or two of those outside linebackers because you already have too many.
I'm glad that we have a pro running back person on the show.
Yeah. The market just says you should do it. Like, the results have just show that things have flipped too far the other way, I think. On top of that, the Broncos basically get two free agent classes because they have $40 million coming off of injured reserve more than the average team. That's basically an entire free agent class on top of it.
And I'll just say this. I think maybe the number one key to getting Russ back is running the ball well.
And giving him a receiving threat without investing in... You already have receivers. It's tough to add another body to that room.
To be fair, though, you said $10 million or more. Saquon's not going to be $10
million. No.
He's going to be more.
15?
Potentially. Yeah. So we'll certainly dive into it.
One more piece?
Sure.
If it's $14 million, there will be 27 wide receivers who make more money than him. He'd be between Corey Davis and Robbie Anderson.
I would rather
have Saquon than either of those two, and
it's not
even close to me.
And if you're taking that away, though, from two potential starting offensive linemen, if it's 15, that could be two legitimate starting offensive linemen. And then think about what you're paying. Henry, you said it earlier in the show. It's all about the trenches, right? Build up the trenches. You would be doing the exact opposite. You'd be building up running back and then three wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think you can do both.
And
I think you can do running back in trenches and add a DB, and that's a good offseason.
To Henry's credit, he was the highest on Christian McCaffrey to the Broncos. The Niners have not lost a game since he started starting for them.
And that would not have happened with the Broncos. They still would have missed the playoffs.
But I think that,
but his
that's
impact,
exact
his,
bold that
his
you
impact
want.
Is clear.
Yep.
For the Niners.
It's not that running backs don't matter. It's that they're tough to trust. They really, really, really matter. You just can't trust them.
What about Josh Jacobs instead?
I mean, the whole same thing. Not as much as a receiver. And I think one of my favorite parts is that Saquon, 91 catches a rookie. Alvin Kamara's never done that. Like, the fact that he could boost the passing game when you already have all these guys under contract and it's kind of tough just to add another receiver. And because you give Cortland Sutton fourth receiver reps. Just a waste.
How much cap space do the Broncos have this offseason?
Right now they're at 12, which is...
So that's what... How are you going to pay three offensive linemen, a running back $15 million, and a DB with $12 million in cap space?
You get another $11 million.
That's with losing Draymond Jones.
Yep, and you get $11 million for cutting Graham Glasgow. You get $10 million for Darby.
Opening up more spots.
But that's part of the plan.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants him back as a starter. So, I mean, the money is there. The money is definitely there.
I think the money's there for all of us.
This is a great post-coaching search podcast that we'll get to.
Absolutely.
But for now, I think that's going to wrap it up for us on the DNVR Broncos podcast. Thank you so much, Cody, for putting in the work in the comments. We're about to 150. I bet we can get 150 by the time we wrap this up. We will be back tomorrow. And we can't wait to talk to you then.
We cannot.
How long's it been since you and I rolled out the truck and took a country drive? Now understand that you need some time. I know some landmarks we used to hit. We're flying. time.